Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Lori Lawson. This is Coach Chat, and my fantastic co-host is...
Oh, thank you, Lori. Bernie Siegel here. Hold up in the Catskill Mountains, where there isn't anyone 3 acres from me.
Now that's social distancing. I love it. Okay.
Exactly.
Let me tell you a little bit about Coach Chat. We here at Coach Chat believe if you change your perspective, you can change your whole life. And we developed this show for coaches and those interested in one of the fastest growing professions in the world today. We hook you up with some of the world's leading coaches who share their expertise and give you tips and takeaways for expanding and improving your life and your business. And today, we are thrilled to have as our guest, Jessica Yarbrough. Jessica, hey.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for coming. It's like it's going to be like a bit of fresh air. We're going to talk about a little business stuff, and then we can also talk about current events. But we're going to combine it. But first, let me tell you about Jessica. She has quickly developed a reputation of being one of the best business strategists and marketing and sales consultants for entrepreneurs who want to sell high-value products and services. Her background is in international business, and she's built multiple companies. Her expertise is showing entrepreneurs how to build an expert platform, rapidly raise their value, build their credibility online, and attract high-paying clients. That is one heck of a job. She travels the world teaching and inspiring entrepreneurs and helping them grow their influence and make the income and impact they desire. So we want to know, how is this going to happen? So take it away, Bernie.
Thank you. And thanks for being on the show, Jessica. A lot of our listeners have always want to know, how did our guests get to where they are today? And so if you could just briefly give us a little bit of a background as to how you ended up doing what you're doing right now.
Sure. Well, my background was in business and marketing. I managed several companies. I actually built a startup company in my early 20s, got burned out, left, and did a four-year journey where I traveled and became a yoga teacher and lived in four different countries.
Wow.
Thought that I was done. Yeah, definitely have great stories. I'll have plenty of stories to tell my grandchildren one day. But, I ended up getting pregnant with my daughter. I didn't think I was going to go back into the business world, but quickly realized, like, hey, I have to make money. I mean, when you have a child coming into the world, your perspective shifts very quickly. And I did not want to go back into the corporate world. I didn't want to, work for someone else who allocated a few weeks vacation to me. And I wanted to build my business on my terms and be able to travel with her. And so I did just that. I started my company from the ground up. I was doing done-for-you marketing services, had a lot of success, had friends of mine saying, how are you doing this? Can you teach us? That's when I started building my own educational platforms and showing people how that they could take their background, their experience, their education, their skill set, and turn it into a really profitable online coaching or consulting business.
Fantastic. Now, is there a course in college? It's like how to do cool business, or where did you get your expertise from?
My mom always said I had the gift to make something out of nothing, right? So, I actually managed a company. I started managing companies very young, and like 16, and then 18, and then 20, another company. And I was always working. I worked my way all through university. I studied international business. I went to university in Spain. So I had this very entrepreneurial mindset at a young age. I give a lot of credit to my mother, who was a pioneer in the construction education for women and minorities, and just a real powerhouse for a lot of my drive. And I always was hungry to learn. So I was always very much like seeing what I could find, early adopter on the internet, early adopter of digital marketing, and really a self-learner. So I wouldn't say there was some things that I was taught in university, but a lot was self-taught. One of my most, and I think some of my best education came from actually doing, when I ran a very high volume private practice. You know, just learning all of those things helped me to really understand how businesses work, how operations, how systems, processes, everything work together.
Fascinating.
Yeah. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about what's going on in the world around us right now. And we're curious to find out what your clients are telling you right now. What is it their biggest issues that they're dealing with during this this crisis?
Well, everybody's going through a panic, you know, with the economy, and so that's actually why I did a live stream on 5 Keys to Grow Your Business during an economic crisis. And you know, there's two things that can happen. Either you can retract and go into fear, or you can rise as coaches should and show up as the leader that they are. You know, people that are not confident in who they are and great at their craft are going to recede. And then those people who are true experts are going to shine. And so it is your duty to help people. And some people are afraid to sell right now. You need to be selling. We need to keep money for many reasons. We need to keep money moving through the economy. You need to sell in order to serve. People are sitting at home, and like we were chatting about before we started the show, you know, they're consuming news. They're going into fear, but they need help. They need help. Small businesses need help finding how to bring their businesses online. We've got people alone that are in isolation, experiencing the repercussions of social distancing, that need love and relationship coaches to help them through this process. I mean, no matter what you do, people are in a state of need. So you have to look for the opportunity, and you have to pivot on what you're offering to meet the current economic state.
Well, from your viewpoint, Jessica, what are the opportunities? I mean, because God knows every day we hear what are the downfalls and the predictions that are not so hot. What are the opportunities in a crazy, and this is, I know, new territory for all of us, but what are the opportunities in this crazy, chaotic atmosphere right now?
Well, there's tremendous opportunities. Now, like I said, it's how your ability to shift, to pivot, to be flexible is going to address the opportunities, and whether you see it as this is the downfall or whether you see it as this is an opportunity. We're going to see an emergence or even a bigger boom in the technology industry, the e-commerce industry. We're going to see a bigger boom in the coaching and consulting on an online marketing industry. And so I'll give you an example. I did my call with my group coaching clients yesterday. One of them is an educator. So this is a perfect time for her to push up her launch date of her online life accelerator for her getting kids future ready. Perfect opportunity for teachers, educators to build a really robust online platform. Parents are hungry for it. Another opportunity is if you've been previously thinking about speaking in companies, now's the perfect opportunity to do virtual conferencing into big companies that need to still continue to educate their employees. One of my clients is a love dating matchmaker, perfect opportunity to create a program for finding love during social distancing. I mean, there's opportunities everywhere. People are looking for guidance. They're looking for leaders to step up and lead. And so what you've been offering before might not be as relevant, so you need to create something that is going to meet people with their needs where they're at right now.
So many years ago, both Laura and I were president of the ICF chapter in New York City at one time. And what I learned there was that so many people were getting involved in coaching, and they were really concerned about how good a coach they were or were going to be, but they didn't know how to market and promote themselves. Most of them failed over time. And so I love what you do, because obviously that adds tremendous value. What is it that the couple of top things that people are not doing, they have the skill, let's say, but what are they doing to promote themselves the right way?
You hit the nail on the head. The problem is we have really amazing coaches and really amazing healers too that are great at their craft, but they don't understand marketing. And so most coaches, because they're not good at what they do, but rather they are unable to effectively communicate the value of what they do. Mm-hmm. And so they run out of runway before ever even taking off. And so it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to have to learn marketing. It doesn't mean you have to become masterful, but the top earning coaches in the world aren't merely the best. They're just really great at marketing. I'm not saying that they're not good, but there's amazing people who don't have 7- and 8-figure businesses just because they don't know how to market themselves. And so you have to understand and learn and be willing to study marketing. You need to get your messaging dialed in, and that's probably the fundamental thing people are missing, that gap. You need to make sure that you are building authority online, and you can do that. One of my favorite ways to do that, there's many, is to teach. So if you hop over to my LinkedIn, I'm online with my whiteboard, and I'm teaching people frameworks that can get them immediate wins in their business, that can do paradigm shifts, that can help them when it comes to marketing their business. So experts teach, and if you want to shine online, teach what you know. And people will trust you because they're learning mm-hmm. something versus being like one of the 100 other people just filling up someone's news feed, spamming them with offers. So that's just one way that you can stand out online. You've got to be comfortable about being your own best cheerleader, especially in the first 3 years of business. You've got to teach. You've got to show people that you're different. You have to care, and that really helps when you care about getting results. You have to care just as much about delivery rather than just acquiring new clients, meaning that you're making sure that everybody is well taken care of once they're in your program and that your program is constantly being finessed and made better so that you're growing, you're evolving, and your clients are getting results.
And I think you said a magic word before, and you also have to be flexible, you know, because this, as you're bopping along, life is smacking you all around, especially now. So, wow, I wish you were in our coaching school, because they just sort of let us out there and said, okay, go coach. And that was a lot
right.
of the problem. Well, you have deemed yourself, and I love the term, an expert accelerator. And one of the things that you're saying that you help people do is create a business that's in alignment with their greatest gifts and expertise. How do you go about doing that?
Well, first I want to look at a lot of people undersell themselves. Or they have been trained by internet marketers to think small. And you might have, I'm sure you see this, people are like, create a course and never work again, retire on the beach. Or create a $7 ebook and then upsell to a $297 course and then do this. And it's this long complexity that overwhelms people. So most people aren't starting a business because they want to build a bunch of complexity. They're starting a business because they have a passion, they want to help people, they want to serve. And they also want to make money and, you know, not kill themselves doing it. And so I want to know what someone's long-term objectives are, and then how can we structure that in a way that they're getting a transformation with their clients, which we know is not in information alone. We know that courses have an 85% attrition rate, so people aren't watching them. They're not getting the results. So we know that coaching allows for results. They're transformational. And then we want to build an offer that allows them to make the greatest impact. So one of my clients is a nurse educator. She's been in practice for 20 years. She specializes in senior living, specifically in dementia. So when she first came to me, she was going to do a membership site, charge $27 a month, and, you know, try to get people in to educate them on dementia. And we took a different approach. I said, why would you do that? Why don't you go into senior living centers? This is already who you're serving. She serves 150 senior living centers right now. And you educate the caregivers on dementia. So now that's who's actually taking care of them, not the children. Now she can go into a company, charge 6 figures, a senior living center. She can empower and change the paradigm of the model that we're caring for people with dementia and impact thousands more lives directly from a care perspective. And she can do that in every senior living center in the country and even in the world. So the impact is huge, and so is the opportunity.
Hmm. So, Jessica, you work with entrepreneurs, it sounds like, in a lot of different fields. What would you say is common amongst the people that you work with, maybe the common challenges that they have?
I think a lot of people struggle with overwhelm. They know they need that they have something. They're just not quite sure how to put it all together. Again, we're sold on complexity. People are offering too many things. They're distracted, shiny object syndrome, trying one thing, you know, sucked into a webinar, paid ad strategy, all these different things that are tools, but that don't always work. And so the biggest struggle is getting people to focus and to simplify and to understand that you don't need to add complexity in order to have a successful business. Complexity comes as you scale a business. You have to add some complexity. But with simplicity, you can move mountains. And so getting them clear and focused and understanding that, just like I shared in the nurse example, that there are ways that you can even exceed any of the goals you set out as far as an impact and an income, and you can do it in a much more strategic, simplified way. So it's creating that mindset shift within them, and then showing them step by step how to do it. Then people don't know how to do it. They need you to handhold them through this process.
I'm curious, based on what you said, first of all, who comes to you and how do they know they need you? What's the difference between a company that goes, you know what, we want to go upscale now, we want to really blow this thing out, or a company that says, we need a path, and we need to figure out which way we're going to go here? Are the both of these people your client, or do you specialize only in upgrades, or how do you go about that?
Sure. I mean, it's a great question. I have both. I steer away from total newbies. Of course, I can help them. I prefer to work with someone that has an established business that has demonstrated experience, expertise, and I'm going to help them go further faster. There's plenty of other people marketing on how to get your first client or something like that. So I work with established business owners. Some people come to me and they're at the there's two kinds of people. They come to me and they're between 50 to 100,000. They kind of bounce around in there, and they really want to break into $250,000, $350,000 range. So that's the specific marketing strategy that we're working on. And then I have people come to me that are at 350, 500. Some people are at seven figures, and they want to double what they're doing, whether that's cross into a million or cross into eight figures. And so we are streamlining things. We're dialing in their marketing, tightening everything up, getting rid of a lot of things, and then building the infrastructure that will allow them to scale.
Now, some people are their worst enemies. What clients do you find, or people that come to you, potential clients, that may not be a right fit for what it is that you do?
So anybody who has so many limiting beliefs that they don't see their own worth is tough, because you could spend an entire year trying to convince someone that they're worthy. Mm-hmm. That's why I like to work with established business owners, because when you see the results that you're getting in your clients' lives, then you're like, yeah, I'm worth it. Now, of course, there's still mindset work we have to do around up-leveling their pricing and on all of those things. But I'm not here to convince someone that they're worthy of, even having a business. That would be their own worst enemy, or, someone who is so afraid to put themselves out there, because you have to do it. Like, no one is going to do it for you. And so you have to be willing to try new things and be open-minded and coachable and be willing to put yourself out there in order to succeed anything in life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're international. And I'm always curious, what cultural differences do you see, and how do you deal with them?
Well, I have clients all over the world, Australia, UK, Switzerland. Every culture is different. I'm very international, having lived in four different countries. I speak multiple languages. The way that you market shifts. So, Americans can be pretty crass sometimes. And we also have a glasses half full perspective when it comes to business. That's why, you know, a lot of Canadians prefer to do business here. Europeans really want to break into the American market. Like, we think differently, we spend money differently. So it's tailoring your marketing message around that. In like UK, Switzerland, people tend to be more reserved. They're more proper. They're more polite in some cases, you know, like they don't want to upset you, versus Americans. Like, you look at someone like Gary V, he'll tell you off and people will still buy from them. So it's a different animal to market in the United States. And so you need to understand, like, where's your ideal client, and you need to be able to adjust your messaging based on their cultural pattern.
So many people become entrepreneurs, Jessica. I was looking through your website and it struck me. You know, they want to create more freedom for themselves and also make money. It's not a hobby. So they come to you, some people, and they're doing all these things that you talked about, so many different things. They're burnt out, exhausted, it's not succeeding. How do you coach them to stop doing some of those things since they've been doing it for a while?
Well, we first have to eliminate a lot of them, so streamline their offer. So one of my clients, Michelle, one of the things we did, she had 7 offers. We pared them down to 2 main ones and then 1 that she's going to phase out. So we went from seven offers to 3. She was able to actually get rid of between 30 to 40 clients and move everybody else into these different ways of working with her. She did about $320,000 in sales in 60 days, and she reclaimed 4 hours a week of her time. Mm-hmm. So if you can show people that you can actually eliminate and increase your time, you can get rid of things and therefore gain more time, you can change, you can let go of clients and gain better ones, it's a win-win situation. So it's just showing them that it's possible, number one. And this happens to me a lot, because I come to people come to me that are having success and they're burnt out. And if they're burnt out in Q1, you know, good luck getting through the rest of the year. So if you can show them, let's make some fundamental changes in your business, they're going to finally be able to breathe and relax. And then you can actually show them, not only can you reduce your workload and make your life easier, that you can actually make more money, then, you know, it's really a no-brainer for them to take the steps necessary. It's hard because nobody wants to let clients go, mm-hmm. but they can see the other side of it. They see the silver lining.
Well, based on your vast expertise, what is, maybe can you tell me one of the biggest myths in entrepreneurism and one of the biggest truths? What does people think, and what's real?
Okay, entrepreneurship is easy. It's definitely not easy. I mean, it's a myth that it's easy. It can be simple. We overcomplicate things. This is human nature. But it's not easy. Entrepreneurship is not for the faint of heart. You have to have grit. You have to have determination. You have to be willing to be vulnerable and put yourself out there. You have to overcome enormous obstacles, both internally and externally, in order to succeed. So that's a huge myth that some people capitalize on. You know, obviously, there's a lot of get-rich-quick schemes and magic bullets and all that being sold. So, you know, if you're out there selling anything in the business or wealth creation, you just need to be very transparent and integrity and say, hey, it's not for everyone, and just speak your truth, and more people will be drawn to you, the right people, right? So you said a truth and a myth. The truth is about the coaching, about the entrepreneurship industry, it is the ultimate, if you're determined and you're willing to stick with it, it is the ultimate path to lifestyle and financial freedom. Because if you can roll up your sleeves and do the work, you're going to make far more money than you ever would in any job. You're going to have far more security. People think they have job security. Anybody, you can be with a company for 20 years, they hand you a pink slip. You have far more security because you can influence your own income. And when you dial in these pieces, you have the ability to predict what you're going to make. There's predictability that can, and far more job security. And then, of course, time freedom. No one is telling you when you work, what you do, how much vacation you can take. And with the emergence of online business, you know, I spent a month in Europe 2 years ago with my five-year-old daughter. And that wouldn't be possible to do that in a traditional job environment. So it really is the ultimate lifestyle freedom that people seek, but you have to have the grit and determination to see it all the way through. You have to go all in on it and you know, not be afraid of failure because you're going to fail at times.
Listening to you, I was reminded of the past where we were, again, leading our ICF chapters, and I was always amazed and shocked how many people felt guilty about charging money, about making yeah. money, because they got into it. I just want to help. I want to save the world. And how do you, I imagine you come across some people like that. How do you deal with people who feel guilty about charging a reasonable fee for what they do?
Well, I do. It's a great question. It comes up a lot. It's twofold. One, it's logic and reason, right? You know, so one, I remind them that their mindset was given to them. Their belief systems were given to them at a young age. And, you know, like I was raised by parents who were raised by parents who went through the Great Depression. So all of those belief systems, you know, the Great Depression was a terrible time, have been passed along all the way to the current generation. Now we're seeing a shift, obviously, the shift around spending and money and all of that. But most of the people I work with are 35 to 55. And so they're in that mindset shift or in that mindset. So we have to first look at where we got it from. The second thing is it doesn't take long for me to analyze someone's history because I work with people who have demonstrated experience and to show them the insane results that they've gotten someone and point out the stark lack of congruency with the value they bring and the results, the value they bring and the price that they charge. So when somebody's, you know, going into a company and in an hour, it's very innate to them, they can save them $25,000 and they charge them $250, that's out of alignment. You know, if you can save someone's marriage, And you think about marriage, people have been together for 15, 20 years. It's probably going to cost $500,000, right, of asset split and the $100,000 in lawyer fees and everything else. If you can save their marriage and prevent divorce, is that worth $25,000? Yeah. It's a lot cheaper than divorce court. So why would you charge them $100 an hour?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Okay, let's hope they don't. Just a quick question because we are running out of time and I definitely want to let people know how to get in touch with you. I know right now, and I think Bernie and I are both, we were on the same page as like, oh my God, all this technology, what are we going to do with it all? And now, my goodness, it's saving the world at this point. It's keeping us connected. But do you have a fear that social connection, that customer service, for lack of a better word, is kind of going by the wayside now? And do you think it'll come back?
As it pertains to the coaching industry or just in a broad sweeping entrepreneurship?
In a broad thing, yeah.
Oh, no, I don't think so at all. Because people now more than ever, no amount of automation will ever take the place of a human conversation. None. And so as much as we have the bots and the funnels and the, you know, automated, there's nothing worse than calling up a customer service center and going through their automated system. Am I right? It's like being put on hold, pressing the button. That's invalid entry. Going back. That is obnoxious. So not doesn't matter. All these automation, now more than ever, people crave human connection. Now with what's happening and social distancing, they're going to crave it even more. This is our time to shine as coaches. We might not be able to meet them in person, but if you can, and I work with one of my clients is a 7-figure call center, so they're all about answering the phone. So people are craving it. We're going to see a boom in call center industries even more so since we can't have storefronts like returning things or what. But that'll be one of the industries that is going to be booming right now. But people are going to crave that human connection. We're still human beings. We don't want a bot. That's why I don't use bots in my business. I can't stand them. It's like, I don't care if it makes me more money. I don't like them.
Let's end on that note and tell people, because you are like a ray of sunshine right now, how can people get in touch with you? I'm going to spell your last name so they can find you. And it's Jessica, but it's YARBROUGH. How can they find you, Jessica?
Yeah, sure. Go to jessicayarbrough.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn or Facebook. Everything is public, and I'm giving live stream advice, writing articles, creating presentations that can help move the needle in your business all the time. And it's all open to the public.
Thank you so much for being our guest, Bernie. Thank you so much for being in seclusion and yet coming down and talking to us. And I'll tell everybody, we're going to see you again next month. So, Jessica, great show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.